Quick story, and I want to introduce, and then I want to pray. I had a friend in college who was making a long trip home for the week or the weekend. Had several hours in the car, so he did a very scientific study on music, where half the way home he listened to classic rock, and the other half he listened to country. And he said he made a discovery he'd never noticed before. He said in rock music, people were singing about the things they were going to do or wanted to do. He said, in country music, they were already doing it. Like, I want to do this. I dream of this. And the country guy, he's right in the middle of it already. What an interesting discovery. And I thought about this week because if you were to go to the Billboard Top 100, it wouldn't matter if it was rock or country. If you were to look at the top songs, my guess would be the majority of them would have something to do with love. Love we want, love we dream about, love we have, love we cherish, love that's difficult, and then love lost, right? How many songs fit in one of those three categories? And my burden this morning is that we sing about it enough, we've heard it, we felt it, we think we know about it, but don't you think it's often our biggest problem is lack of love, or better yet, we all love, and we always have an abundance of love, but we just love in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong directions. And so, just really burdened this week. Even in here this morning early, just kind of walking around, praying for the seats and who would be sitting where, and just burdened that, God, help us get it. Help us to get this, and we've heard about it so many times, but help us to get this. We have a text, we have a table, that's going to try to help, we're gonna help us, hopefully will help us love this morning and know that we're loved. So let me pray that for us right now. Would you join me? Lord, it is your spirit that brings life to dry bones. It is your spirit who opens eyes, who brings life where there's death, who works in our hearts to do the impossible, the things we could never do on our own. And Lord, your word says that when it comes to love, we are trying to grasp the ungraspable. Paul prayed that you would know the love that surpasses knowledge. It's wide, it's long, it's high, it's deep. The love of Christ. And I pray, God, that we would get it. You'd open our eyes, open our hearts to see today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I remember in church history, I don't remember the names, but I remember in church history class the story being told of a famous philosopher who was on his deathbed, and the parson in the little town went to his house to be with him as he was dying. And the parson said to him, "You know that God loves you, right?" And his response was, "Of course he does. It's his job. It's what God does. It's his job. He can't do anything else. He has to. It's in his job. It's on his resume, right?" And I think if you've been around church a long time and you've heard John 3:16 enough and you've heard enough sermons and you've read your Bible, you know. And you sing the songs this morning, right, about love. And they have these adjectives on them. Amazing love. Relentless love. And I'm over here singing going, well, if his love is amazing, then we should be amazed. There should be a corresponding something going on in our heart, right? So what I hope we will see is just in Scripture giving us the command to love and then showing us what love looks like or how it's depicted and then how love is seen in us, that we will just the Spirit would move in our hearts to see that love is our biggest problem and yet our biggest potential as we see it in God and in us. And I want you to take a moment before we jump into 1 John 4 to think just through the relationships in your home, the relationships with your neighbors, coworkers, family, friends, the world, the mission field, however you want to look at it, and just think about how love is at work in you and how love is moving in the distance that might be, whether it's a small distance or a big distance. Because we see in this command, the love of God goes great distances. Look at how love is commanded. Chapter 4, verse 7 of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Isn't that the great statement? From God, love is from God. And we saw this last week. If you look up at the first six verses of John 4, it's from God is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in six verses. He uses the words from God, from God, from God, as opposed to the one time he says from the world. This love is from God, but yet we're commanded to have it. And this is something Scripture does often. Oftentimes, God will command the impossible. And John was familiar with this. He walked around with Jesus. He saw Jesus do things like commanding people who couldn't walk to walk. Jesus, what are you doing? He can't walk, and you're telling him to walk. But somehow, John saw that built into the command was this grace to do the impossible. And so, how do you command the impossible? You come in with what the person needs to do the obedience. It's like fruit, right? We say this a lot when we talk about the tree on the wall. When we talk about the vine and the branches that we bear fruit, but we don't produce it. It's Christ in us that produces the fruit, but we're the ones who bear it, right? And he says, when you know God, he says, you love. And we talked about this every week, that when John talks about knowing God, he's not talking about, are you going to heaven? He's talking about this fellowship, this communion, this abiding, right? And he's like, if you were abiding and knowing and in fellowship with the one who is love, then that abiding and that fellowship of you and him and you, it would produce love, right? This is normal in relationships, right? I mean, if you're acquainted with someone, right, you know things about them, but when you know someone, you know, right? You know what their favorite things are. You know what they hate. You know what they love. You know the things that get on their nerves. You know their pet peeves, right? And it's like, well, you know God. If there's one thing you're going to know that he is love. So there's the impossible commanded. Beloved, he keeps using that word, doesn't he? Beloved, dear ones, let's love one another. Love one another. He's said this over and over. He keeps coming back, right? He'll talk about something controversial that's happening, and then he'll say, but beyond that, let's love each other. Yeah, there's these people in the world, but let's just remember to love each other. Yeah, and there's this controversy, but let's love each other. He just keeps kind of saying it over and over. And it's impossible unless you know God. Only he can produce that kind of love. One of the most famous bands in the world did their world tour playing in stadiums, and there was a moment where this lead singer is giving a little talk, and to, 60, 70,000 people in the stadium, he says, People do awful things in the name of the Bible. We just need to learn to love. I'm like, yeah, people do awful things in the name of love too. Right? If you've been around humans, we do weird things in the name of love, sometimes horrible things in the name of love. And my mind went back this week to watching a talk show many, many years ago. And it was a man and woman had this talk show. And I happen to know that even though he was a famous Hollywood dude, musician, he was a Christian. I didn't know about the woman, but he was a Christian. And I guess one day they gave him this psychologist, this counselor, to come on as their guest. And her topic that she wanted to talk about was open marriage and how a man and a woman could kind of sign a contract together and allow each other to just kind of be with any other man and woman that they wanted to, right? And here's this topic. And they opened up the floor to questions. And so the host goes out in the audience with the microphone, and the people are digging it. They're like, so wait a minute, tell me, so my husband and I can agree on this? Yeah, you just da-da-da-da. And you can see this host getting more and more uncomfortable. And finally, he takes the microphone and he goes, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about the people out there who might, you know, believe the Bible. And, you know, the Bible calls that adultery, and God thinks that's a sin. I'm just kind of curious what you say to that. And she just, a sweet smile on her face. She said, oh, yes, but the Bible also says that love is God. And he's like, no, it says God is love. Those are two very different things. In other words, if you start with love and just kind of make it in your image, you can just kind of make all sorts of things out of it. But if you start with God, you can at least ask the question, okay, which God are we talking about here? I don't believe in that God either. I believe in this one, and he is love, right? You flip-flop those, then you'll make a God out of love, and then you'll make love whatever you happen to want to love. So he says, beloved, love. Because love is from God. And when you're born of God and when you're in fellowship with God, you get love. And then he's going to talk about here, and let me show you what this looks like. Let me show you how this is depicted, how this is done, how this is demonstrated. And he uses these two words twice. In this, verse 9, in this, verse 10, where he's talking about what it looks like. In this, the love of God was made manifest or revealed or shown among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, beloved, let's love one another. Love is from God. Let me show you what this looks like. This is how God revealed his love to the world. Number one, he sent his only Son. He says it twice, doesn't he? Verse 9, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And the two go hand in hand. But it's again, Joey said this, God made the first move. He sent from heaven his Son, from glory his Son. He says that we might live. This is, and I keep going back to the Upper Room Discourse because I think John weaves it in here, but Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17:3. Father, you gave me all authority. And then what does he say? What do you do when you have all authority? What would you do if you had all authority? Yeah, frightening, isn't it? Yeah. You gave me all authority, and with that authority, I gave them life. I gave them eternal life. I had all authority in heaven and on earth, and in that authority, I gave eternal life. God sent his Son that we might live through him. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? That we might have eternal life, right? As we talked about this last week, we come into the world, the checkbox next to Adam is checked, and in Adam we die, and in Christ we have life. So God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He doesn't say, get your act together. He didn't say, when they're ready. God demonstrates by sending. And then it says that he might be the propitiation. There's that beautiful favorite word in the Bible, propitiation. A great word. Propitiation was used in lots of religions. If you were worshiping, let's say, the god of agriculture, you know, the god, small g, can be a little picky, a little irritable. You want to catch him on a good day, get your crops to be blessed. But what you really have to do is you have to appease the god. You got to get him on your side. So what do? You offer him a sacrifice, and what do? You propitiate him. You put him at ease. You seek to turn his anger away from you, his wrath away from you, so that he can then give you blessing. So people of all sorts of religions use the word propitiation, and in those religions, propitiation is something we do to try to get the gods to not be upset with us. And we can get their blessing from whatever it is we need a blessing for. I say of all religions because we do it too, right? God, if I do this, will you do this? Right? Okay, so, but God is different in that when propitiation is needed, it comes from his side. He does it. His son is the propitiation. We sang this, how deep the Father's love, that he would give his only son, right, to make a wretch his treasure, right? It's we're singing about sacrifice. We're singing about propitiation. So God not only makes the first move, and demonstrates his love, sending his son to sinners, he fills the gap between us and him. He comes in where there is no way we're going to make this up to him. There's no way we're going to be good enough. There's no way that the good side of the scales are going to outweigh the bad side. And he sees that, and he loves, and he says, well, I will fill it in from my end. I will give my son. We will be the sacrifice. He will be the sacrifice. And I will be satisfied with the sacrifice. And it's not you trying to satisfy me. It's me satisfying me on your behalf for you. So that's love demonstrated. He makes the first move, and he fills in the gap. So when he says, let us love one another, love is from God, let me show you what that looks like. It goes first, and it fills in the gap. So then the third here at the end, love seen, love perfected. So it's manifest, it's revealed in Christ. And now, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So it's so loved. In other words, this is what the love of God looks like. This is what love from God looks like. This is what God is love looks like. If he so loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. In other words, we love the way he loves. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So God does so much better than just showing us an example, because let's get real here. We're not always that great at following a good example, are we? It's like, if this is what it looks like, this is how I draw you to myself, and then I come along and I live in you and I love in you and I begin to perfect. So he's like, people can't see God, but if they want a demonstration, if they kind of want to see what love looks like, what did Jesus say? This is how they're going to know you're my disciples, the way you love one another. That's what he's saying. He resides in us. He makes himself at home. That's what abiding is. He makes himself at home in us. So God, the Spirit inside of us, and he's in there making himself at home, right? And he's going through the closets, and he's throwing stuff out and going, oh, that's good. We'll keep that and throwing this out and just kind of cleaning house in there. And what's he doing? He's perfecting love. He's perfecting love. No, that's not the right kind of love. Let's get rid of that. Let's confess that. Let's repent of that. Okay, let's put this in its place. And yeah, let's kind of tweak that a bit. No, that's got to go, right? And he's just in there perfecting love in us as he resides. And he says, this is how people will see and know what God is like by his love in us. for each other. So it's commanded, but it's impossible. But he's in us, producing the fruit that we bear. He goes first. He offers a sacrifice so that we can be in relationship and fellowship with him. He makes the first move. He fills in the gap and says, now you all be the kind of people who make the first move and who fill in the gap with each other. So let's finish this and then let's come to the table. Let me start finishing with this. And I don't want you to just go, oh yeah, I know that, real quick, okay? So say this, and I want you to just really, really receive it. You are loved by God. Not because it's his job. You're loved by God. Joey gave us the word relentless, right? You ever been around a relentless kid? Hey, mom, hey, mom, dad, hey, dad, right? It's just, they're not going to stop until you acknowledge, right? He's just relentless. It's just always, right? And so when I say you are loved relentlessly, I know that there's something in my heart that says, if or when. Well, he loves me if. Well, he loves me when I do this. And I always want to qualify it. I always want to say it can't be that good, right? Come on, have you seen me? And he just says God is love. And he demonstrates it in the cross. And he didn't wait for you to get if or when. He just did, right? So just receive that this morning. God loves you. The most simple three words that we all know. But I want you to just receive it and know and hear God saying that to you. I love you. Not if, not when. I love you as you are. I love to make you enough to keep perfecting something in you so that you won't always be as you are. But look what I've done, right? So then we go to Jesus said, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And this is difficult. When we think about just what is discipleship all about, I'm reading a fantastic book right now called You Are What You Love. And he's talking about discipleship. And he says, generally, the way discipleship works is you find the person who knows the most, and they pass on what they know. And that is a great start. That's a great start. Find someone who knows the Bible. That's good. And they know the truth, and they can discern truth from error, and pass on what they know. But the heart, he says, we tend to think of people as a brain attached to a body. We are thinking things, is the term he uses. When the heart is so much more complex than that. And he makes this thing that just kind of really struck me. He says, the truth is, none of us ever live up to what we know, but we will always follow what we love. And we will always follow what we desire. And discipleship that makes it all the way to love is a lot trickier, right? So imagine that. We let's do some examples. Okay, well, who loves the best? Right? You can't love who you don't know, but the goal of knowing is loving, right? Paul told Timothy, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. A prayer I've prayed a couple thousand times for my kids, for you all, for just everybody, because it's just right there on my mind, Philippians 1:9. This is my prayer, that your love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may discern what is best, that you may discern what is most excellent, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness at the coming of Christ, the day of Christ. That your love will abound in knowledge and depth of insight. Why do we want knowledge and depth of insight? So that we can love better. And he's like, don't stop at the knowing. keep going to the loving. So, something to ponder in the way we think about discipleship. But then let's think about how this is depicted and what this will look like. The two parts of love, and I really want you to think about this, and I want you to think very specifically and very personally. If God makes the first move in love, how do we make the first move? Think about the people closest to you, right? Think about your own home, right? My wife is really, really good at this. I'm really, really bad at this. I'm good at whining and sulking. I'm good at that. She's good at making the first move. I'm going, okay, what's going on here? That's right. Right. I'm lame, right? I mean, she's just like, she takes it, makes the first move, right? And that spreads out beyond our family, right? It's like with our neighbors, okay? Love your neighbor, okay? How can I make the first move with this person I've been praying for? How can I make the first step to serve this person? How can I make the first step to be kind to these people, right? And then it goes to the world. Jesus prays, as the Father sent me, so I send you. What's one of those things? God so loved, he sent. Okay, so go, love earth. So just think about that. Think about the people God has placed in your home. Think about the people God has placed in your workplace. Think about the people God has placed on your street. And think about what it would mean, God help me love and help me make the first move, right? And then help me just bear the cost of that. Cost of time, the cost of money, the cost of courage, right? The cost of potential rejection. Whatever the cost might be, right? Let me take the first move and bear the cost. Even if just the people you're closest to, and maybe you're not close anymore, if you just want to put names and faces on it. The sacrifice pays a debt, and whenever forgiveness has to happen, there's been a debt that's been incurred, right? So you get in a fight with somebody, or you get in a disagreement with somebody, suddenly someone's in debt to someone else. Like, you owe me an apology, you owe me restitution, you owe me, right? And what forgiveness does is forgiveness steps in and say, well, I'll pay the debt here. I won't hold you to debt anymore. Right? So when God looks at you, he says, well, you don't owe me a thing. Just love. But you don't owe me. Can you imagine God saying that? I mean, the debt that we have accrued to God, and he says, you don't owe me? Okay, then you just kind of take that out to the people maybe you have tension with or difficulty with, and you bear the cost, and you say, okay, I'll pay this. I will forgive. I'll take the cost of this. You don't owe me anymore. Let's love one another. So what's that look like for you? Who will that be for you? Where? When? Like soon, right? And last, just let's repeat it again. You are loved. You were loved. And that's what the table is going to be for today. Pray for us one more time as we go. Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that we would be people who display your love in miraculous ways. If left to ourselves, we know we don't do it. We can't. We'll love all the wrong directions. We'll make idols of all sorts of stuff, and then we'll try to make propitiation to those idols, and it'll just be a mess. But we go with you in us. We go with Christ in us. And when we don't want to, Jesus wants to. And when we can't, Jesus can. And so send us out of here to love you with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And may the world be different for the glory of Jesus because of what you're doing in us, perfecting your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, y'all. Have a great week.
Thank you.